From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with this study of the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Goodness and Severity of God. In the first two chapters of Romans, the Apostle Paul demonstrated the guilt of the human race for their sins against God's holiness and righteousness. However, the Jews argued that since they were God's chosen people, the recipients of His covenant promises, they could sin without fear of God's judgment. It is true that the children of Israel enjoyed great privileges. However, in chapter 3 of Romans, Paul replies that God has placed Jew and Gentile on an equal footing with regard to their sin and guilt. God will judge everyone for their sins, regardless of being Jew or Gentile. Dr. Cairns will continue this message shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Plead His Own Promise. The text is found in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 29. Thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. This is a promise pleaded, and so it yields double instruction to us. Anything which the Lord God has spoken, we should receive as surely true, and then plead it at the throne. Oh, how sweet to quote what our own God has spoken! How precious to use a therefore, which the promise suggests, as David does in this verse. We do not pray because we doubt, but because we believe. To pray unbelievingly is unbecoming in the Lord's children. No, Lord, we cannot doubt Thee. We are persuaded that every word of Thine is a sure foundation for the boldest expectation. We come to Thee and say, Do as Thou hast said. Bless Thy servant's house. Heal our sick. Save our hesitating ones. Restore those who wander. Confirm those who live in Thy fear. Lord, give us food and raiment according to Thy word. Prosper our undertakings. Especially succeed our endeavors to make known Thy gospel in our neighborhood. Make our servants Thy servants, our children Thy children. Let the blessing flow on to future generations, and as long as any of our race remains on earth, may they remain true to Thee. O Lord God, let the house of Thy servant be blessed.
Church declare His name. Let every voice be raised, God's glory to proclaim. Upon the wings of praise, lift high the song of grace. Let joyful alleluias fill the sky. Let Christ be lifted up on high. Let every steeple
song be raised, a testament of life.
May our hearts be broken, may the doors fling open, may every word and deed proclaim the love of Christ.
Let Christ be lifted up,
let the
lift the cross above.
Let every act of grace reflect the Savior's love.
May songs of hope ascend until the last amen lifts us to the joy of heaven above.
Let Christ be lifted up, and the church declare his shame. Let every voice be raised,
God's glory to proclaim.
Upon the wings of grace, lift high the song of grace.
Let joyful hallelujahs fill the sky.
Church declare his name.
Let every voice be raised, God's glory to proclaim.
Upon the wings of praise,
lift high the song of praise.
Let joyful hallelujahs fill the sky.
Let Christ be lifted up on high.
Often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
giving in Romans, he's giving to poor sinners an insight into the wonderful provision that God has made for the salvation of the lost. It's a message of pardon. It's a message of the imputed righteousness of Christ. It's a message whereby people who cannot save themselves can be saved eternally. Whereby those who are personally guilty can be made legally righteous and then personally sanctified and brought finally to heaven. It's a message of the glorious grace of God. In other words, it is the best news that sinners can ever receive. And yet, as Paul presents this good news to the Jew first, and he's strong to emphasize that, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile, he finds that he is met with objections, he's met with arguments, he's met with criticisms, and he is met even with the vicious caricature of the doctrine of the gospel, whereby those who receive it, instead of rejoicing in it, hold it up to ridicule. What a picture. What a picture. Sinners defending themselves of all things from the truth of God. Sinners putting up their defenses against the truth of God. How true to life the Bible is. How absolutely dead on the mark the Scriptures always are. Because human nature has never changed in this. Wherever preachers go preaching the Word of God, wherever they expose sin, wherever they expose the utter unworthiness of man and the inability of sinners to save themselves, wherever they humble the pride of man's self-righteousness into the dust, and wherever they point to Christ as God's only provision for the saving of the soul, men and women and young people automatically put up the defenses. This is something they must oppose. You'll know it in your own conscience. You'll know, even if you're saved now, you will know there was a time when you fought the truth of God with might and main. And some of you tonight are still fighting it. It's an amazing picture. It's a horrible picture of people who are open to the lie of the devil. Welcome it with open arms. And they're fighting against the truth that alone can make them wise unto salvation. We have another picture here. The picture of sinners asserting their rights before God. The people that Paul was writing to at this time were Jews, religious Jews. They wanted God's favor, but they wanted God's favor as their right, as something to which they were entitled. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the unbelief that Paul is speaking about in chapter 3, verse 3, their unbelief is peculiarly and particularly their unbelief regarding Jesus Christ. It is their rejection of Jesus Christ. So here we have people who, fully aware that they are rejecting Jesus Christ, yet come before God and they demand that on the basis of the fact of their Jewishness, their circumcision, their self-righteousness, they would be accepted of God. Again, what a picture. People don't like to put it so baldly as I have done, that they can come to God and say, I have a right to heaven. You have no right to deal with me other than to save me. They don't like to put it in those terms. But in reality, that is still how the usual sinner approaches God. I have a right. What? You call me a sinner? You tell me that I cannot be worthy of heaven? No, no. I want God's favor. but I deserve it. After all, look at him and look at her and look at somebody else. Don't tell me I'm... Go to those people and tell them they're sinners. But as for me, I'm not in their class. To show you how deeply ingrained that is, you see, this is the basis of most heterodox theology. This is at the heart of it. It's a wrong view of God and a wrong view of man. But to show you how deeply this runs, I referred in passing this morning to a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7, where you have people who come before the judgment of God, and they say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, depart from me, I never knew you." Now watch this carefully. The Lord Jesus did not for a moment contradict what they said. These are people who have preached in the name of Jesus. These are people who have done miracles in the name of Jesus. These are people who have cast out devils in the name of Jesus. These are people who are willing to call him Lord. And he says, "I never knew you." But watch carefully where their error lies. They come before the throne of God, and they are there saying why they should be received into the everlasting habitations of God's glory. And what do they say? They say, "Lord, we should be there because of what we have done for you." You see the difference? We were singing a moment ago about standing before God, the quick, the living, dead. We'll stand at the judgment bar. Any man who is saved on that day will be saved because his testimony is, "Lord, I have no right to heaven because of what I have done for you. My only hope of heaven is what Christ has done for me." That's the difference. Oh, this is so deeply ingrained in the fallen nature of man. To put God under obligation to lessen the stain of pollution and the depth of depravity, and to say, "I love God's favor, but I have it as my entitlement and as my earned right." And Paul's whole burden here is to show these religious Jews that no man, be he Jew or Gentile, can earn his way to heaven. To defend their so-called right, these people were willing to question God, the facts of the gospel, the faithfulness of God, and the fairness of God. We're going to look at those questions, because it was to show the wicked absurdity of this thinking that Paul penned the answers here in these opening verses of Romans chapter 3. So tonight I want us simply to take, and it will have to be a quick one, I want us to take an overview of these verses. We'll come back to them in detail, God willing, in the weeks to come. I want us to see here the general argument, where I think here you have what I'll call the goodness and the severity of God. Paul's argument here is that God is both gracious and righteous in his treatment of the Jews. And the same argument must be made to those who are not Jews, but they stand, as I pointed out last time, in relation to the New Testament church, as the Jews did to the Old Testament church. Now let's look at the first two verses, where we have the first question. Actually, two questions. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? And Paul says, "Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God." In this question, the Jewish objector would be questioning first the facts of the gospel. Paul is saying here, what I have written, especially at the end of chapter 2, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, he is a Jew which is one inwardly. He was denying the proper Jewishness of many of these people, therefore. He says, what I have written raises a question. If this is true, and it is, where is the advantage in being a Jew? And he's saying to them, some of you may object that I have reduced the Jews to the level of the Gentiles, that the Jews are no better off than the Gentiles. And of course, if that's what I'm saying, your objection is that I'm flying in the face of Scripture and this totally contradicts the Word of God. The objection these people were making is that Paul's gospel makes the Old Testament, with its clear promises that the Jews were the chosen people of God, specifically and specially blessed within the covenant of Abraham, the covenant of promise, that God's gospel makes that Old Testament of no effect. He's contradicting it. This is the argument. This is the objection. And if Paul says, no, I'm not contradicting it, then they'll say, well then, if your gospel says one thing and the Old Testament says another, as is true. That's their contention. No matter which way you cut it, your gospel is a lie. And Paul felt the weight of that objection. And his answer comes as something of a surprise. You would imagine after he had said what he said at the end of chapter 2, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Circumcision of the flesh is not circumcision at all. It is not an entrance to the covenant. It is not a way of salvation. Well, what advantage is there for the Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? You would imagine he would say none at all. But he doesn't. He says there's much advantage. There's much profit. See, what he's saying is this. In a way, I have placed Jews and Gentiles on the same level, but not as the Jews suggest. This is Paul's argument. Jews and Gentiles are born equal in sin and guilt, but not in respect of privileges. Paul could have told them, I'll say more about this later, because he does say a lot about it later, especially in chapter 9. Paul's whole argument here is, among the nations there is no nation like Israel. God has blessed the Jewish people in many, many ways. But first and foremost, to them alone, I'm not going to get into this tonight, by the way, but here Paul dispatches all those false holy books that claim to come from God, from the other nations. To them alone he committed, he entrusted the oracles, the utterances, the Word of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.